You have found Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggle, stories, and triumphant successes of business owners across the land. We are coming to you locally and underwritten by the Bank of Sun Prairie. If you're listening to this on the web, if you could do us a huge solid, give a thumbs up, subscribe, and of course, share it with all your entrepreneurial friends. My name is James Kademan, and Authentic Business Adventures is brought to you by Calls on Call, Drawing Customers Business Coaching, as well as the Bold Business Book. But now I'm excited because this is all about real estate investing, which is something that I've dabbled in, we'll call it, on the commercial end. But I love talking to experts about it because in the end, it's freedom and it's kind of fun. So we have Mark Podolsky, the land geek, with us. So Mark, how are you doing today?
James Kademan. Pulse is normal. Respiration's fine. Thanks so much for having me.
Hey, man, that's all good. So tell me, the land geek, tell us about what is the land geek?
So basically what I do is I personally buy and sell raw land. All right. And then the land geek teaches people how to buy and sell raw land. But we do it for a specific purpose. My mission in life is to help people get out of what I call solo economic dependency, which means if you're not personally working, you're not making any money. Think if you have a W-2 job.
Sure.
If you're a freelancer, if you're a solopreneur, if you're a high income earner, a doctor, a lawyer, a dentist, right? Think, let's just pick on the dentist. Their hands aren't in someone's mouth. They're not generating any income. They have solo economic dependency and you don't scale.
All right. So it's trading time for money.
You're trading time for money, right? So essentially what I want people to do is learn from how I've gotten free so I can work when I want, where I want, and with whom I want and have your passive income exceed your fixed expenses. Start working because you want to, not because you have to. And James, when you're ready, I can actually walk you step by step through the model so you can do it yourself.
That sounds great. So tell me, before we go down that road, I want to ask you, why land? I've heard people getting apartments. I've heard of commercial real estate property, heard of flipping houses and all this kind of stuff. Land, I got to say, you were the first person that I've ever talked to that has ever been so focused on land. And at first I'm like, oh, it seems so boring. But just tell us why you chose to go with land.
Well, you're right. It is boring. You're not going to go see me on HGTV or the DIY Network for flip this land.
Look at this dirt.
The after picture's raw land. You're absolutely right. And if you go to a RIA meeting, a Real Estate Investment Association meeting, 100 people in that room, James, you and I would be the only land guys there. 99 of them would be flippers, landlords, and wholesalers. So you're absolutely right. And the reason that no one talks about raw land in my model is that It's not sexy.
All right.
So that's why. So what I like about raw land is that, you know, I'm the kind of person that when something goes out of my house, I call the handyman. Mm-hmm. So I have no interest in meeting contractors or subcontractors at a house to fix it because I don't know how much something should be or not. Right.
All right.
And it also doesn't scale. So I can't do deals. I live in Phoenix. I can't start flipping houses or doing fix and flips or landlording where I wouldn't feel comfortable with it in other states. I'd only have to be my general area and I'd be stuck. So land scales. I buy land all throughout the country and I don't have to see it. I buy it sight unseen. I'll walk you through how I do that.
Yeah.
And then what's great about land is that it's the only thing that lasts forever. Ted Turner has that great, great, great quote, buy land, it's the only thing that lasts forever. Styrofoam is a close second. It lasts a long, long time. But land's the only thing that lasts forever. So you're talking about this generational asset, nothing to maintain, nothing to protect. You can't destroy it. You can burn it, but eventually it will grow back. No one's calling me at 3 a.m. saying, Mark, my land's leaking. Come fix me, come help me.
So, I like it.
So that's the other reason. And then the challenge is, and I'll walk you through it, is, well, if land is so great, well, you know, you talk to a financial expert, say, well, don't buy land. It's negative cash flow. You hold it, you pay taxes, and maybe it appreciates in value. Maybe it doesn't. It's a terrible business model. They're 100% right. So, but the way I do it it's a one-time sale. You get recurring passive income every single month without any renters, rehabs, renovations, or rodents.
Oh, I like it. I like it. So tell me, how did you stumble upon this? Was this something that you saw somebody had this idea, or is this just an
epiphany? Yeah. No, no. So let's rewind the tape to 2000. And I was a miserable, micromanaged, 45-minute commute to work and back investment banker, specializing in mergers and acquisitions with private equity groups.
All right.
And it got so bad for me, James. I wouldn't get the Sunday blues.
All right.
Anticipating Monday coming around, I'd get the Friday blues, anticipating the weekend going by really fast.
Oh.
And I'd be back at work on Monday.
All right.
So my firm hires this guy. He's telling me that as a side hustle, he's buying up raw land, he's flipping it online, and he's making a 300% return on his investment. Well, James, I'm looking at companies all day long. And a great company, great, has 15% EBITDA margins or free cash flow.
Right.
Average company is 10%. And I'm looking at companies all day long, less than 10%. So of course I don't believe him. I've got $3,000 saved up for car repairs. I go to New Mexico with him. I buy up 10 half acre parcels, an average price of $300. I flip them online and they sell for an average price of $1,200, 300%. It worked.
Wow.
So I took all, yeah, I know. So I took all that money, went to another auction, which is where I live in Arizona. And there's no one in the room. It's 2000. I'm buying up lots and acreage for nothing. And over the next 6 months, I sold all that land and I made over $90,000 cash. So I go to my wife. I say, honey, I'm going to quit my job and become a full-time land investor. And she's pregnant. And she's like, absolutely not. So I said, okay.
That's awesome.
So it took about 18 months for the land investing income to exceed the investment banking income. And then I quit. And I've been doing it full-time ever since. I've done, as of today, over 6,000 transactions.
6,000 transactions.
6,000.
Holy cow. And how many of those were you in person to actually see?
A handful of them.
Wow.
A handful.
That's crazy. That's amazing.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Yeah. It's so, I tell you, it's kind of funny because I just closed on this property that I'm in now, commercial flex space. Mm-hmm. And I had to be in person at the title company signing 5 million documents. And all I could think is, this is so archaic. Why are we still doing this? We have computers now, a worldwide internet and all that jazz. And I talked to someone like you and you're like, I didn't even see the dirt that I bought, but I bought it and then I sold it. That's cool.
You're right. Like, you know, I think the future is a smart contract on the blockchain.
Mm-hmm.
That would be nice.
That's cool. So how do you find properties? Let's start there.
Okay. So James, where do you live?
I live in just outside of Madison, Wisconsin.
Madison, Wisconsin. Okay, great. Great. I mean, let's just be honest, James, right? Nobody wakes up and thinks to themselves, boy, I'd like some raw land today in Wisconsin. Unless you live in Wisconsin.
Even so, then.
Yeah. So we're going to focus on the Southwest, Nevada, Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, Arizona.
Where everybody's moving now.
Where everybody's moving.
Yeah.
California, maybe a little bit in the Northwest, Washington, Oregon.
Yeah.
Right. Maybe Utah.
Low taxes, better weather.
Yeah. Better weather. You know, Florida. So these are the sunshine states that are fast growing states. This is where the majority of the population would want to be or invest. So that's the first thing, is we want to just go to the good sort of areas that people want to invest. The second thing is that we want to find someone who's distressed financially and has no, what I would call, emotional attachment to that raw land.
Okay.
So I would assume, but let's say I got a list of people that own real property in, say, accounting Texas. Mm-hmm. And then I say, oh, there's James Kedman, lives in Madison, Wisconsin. He owes $200 in back taxes. So you're advertising these two important things to me. No emotional attachment. You're distressed financially in a weird way because you haven't paid your taxes. And as a result, the county treasurer keeps sending you notices saying, James, you don't pay your taxes, you're going to lose this property tax deed or tax lien investor.
Mm-hmm.
So all I'm going to do is look at the comparable sales on your 10-acre parcel for the last 12 to 18 months. I'm going to take the lowest comparable sale and we'll divide by four. And that's going to get me what Warren Buffett would call a 300% margin of safety.
Yeah.
So I'm going to send you an actual offer on your property. So just easy numbers, the lowest comparable sales, $10,000. I'm going to send you an offer for $2,500.
Now, all right.
You accept it because for you, you're never going to go out and see that property again and you owe back taxes. Now, in reality, 3 to 5% of people accept my quote unquote top dollar offer, but you accept it. So now I have to go through due diligence or in-depth research. I have to confirm you still own the property. I have to confirm back taxes are only $200. I have to make sure there's been no breaks in the chain of title. There's no liens or encumbrances. I have this whole big property checklist and I outsource it to my team in the Philippines.
All right.
And I pay about $11 and they're connected to an American title company. Now, if I was investing $5,000 or more, then I would basically close traditionally through a title company. But during that research, I'm getting plat maps. I'm getting aerial maps. I'm getting satellite maps. I'm finding out what's compelling about the property, how close you are from services, what the roads are like, what the topography is like. Is there legal access, ingress and egress? And so I'm getting this whole checklist. So everything checks out. And I buy the property for you, from you for $2,500. Now I'm going to sell this property 30 days or less. And I'm going to make a cash flow just like a rental home. So I have a built-in best buyer. Do you know who it is?
No.
It's the neighbors. The neighbors.
Oh.
So I'm going to send out neighbor letters saying, hey, here's your opportunity. Protect your privacy. Protect your views. Know your neighbor. So oftentimes the neighbors will buy it. Now, if they pass, I'll go to my buyer's list. My buyer's list passes. I'll go to a little website you may have heard of. It's called Craigslist, 10th most trafficked website in the United States. I go to a smaller one called Meta or Facebook, buy sell groups and the marketplace. And then I'm going to go to the lands, landmodo.com, landsofamerica.com, landandfarm.com, landflip.com, landhub.com. These are platforms where people buy and sell raw land. But the way that I'm going to sell it is I'm going to make it irresistible. You can actually control this 10-acre parcel that used to be owned by the famous James Cadman. Right. But you can own this 10 acres. All you have to do is put a $2,500 down payment. And then I'm going to make it a car payment. I'm going to say monthly payments of $399 a month for the next 84 months. So I'm going to get my money out on the down payment. And then I'm going to get a passive income stream of $399 a month at 9% interest over the next 84 months. I have to deal with any renters, rehabs, renovations, or rodents. And because I'm not dealing with a tenant, I'm exempt from Dodd-Frank, RESPA, and the SAFE Act, all this onerous real estate legislation.
Yeah.
So the game is, can we create enough of these land notes where our passive income exceeds our fixed expenses? And now that we're working because we want to, not because we have to.
Clever. Oh, that is genius. So you're essentially self-financing it, but you're not as paid for with a down payment.
Mm-hmm.
That is just a side of genius.
It's even better because it's 90% automated with software and inexpensive virtual assistants. Because we can always make more money, but we can't get more time.
Right. Oh, that's cool. That is cool. So let me ask you, because I'm going to look at the poke the holes, right?
Sure.
So let's poke. What is the longest time that you've had to sit on a piece of property that you just could not get rid of?
In recent memory, 90 days.
That's nothing. It took me 90 days.
Well, if I
don't
sell 30 days or less, I get
antsy,
anxious. That something's got to change. Yeah.
All right. Interesting. That is cool.
Yeah.
So then let's say, how do you find the property? You got to look at all the dirt all over the country.
No. So I don't look at it until somebody raises their hand and says, I want to sell it.
Oh.
So I'm going to go to the county assessor.
Okay.
And I'm going to get the real property list. So I get everybody that owns property in that county.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to do a scrub, let's say by use code. So it's VL for vacant land. So now I just have vacant land. I'm going to do one more scrub by assessor's parcel number, APN or subdivision, and kind of acreage. Because if I send an offer, the same offer to somebody with 40 acres as 5 acres, the 40 acre person is going to send me back glitter in the mail. So I want to make sure I've got my pricing matrix right. And then I'll send out my offers.
All right. And when you send an offer, are you typically calling them up? Is it an email?
No, it's all automated. I'm going to upload it to my software and it's going to send it out automatically.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
So you have software, so you're not licking stamps or anything like that.
No stamp licking.
Oh, that is clever.
Yeah.
And then I imagine you have some way to make it as easy as possible for the person that has that land and receives that request.
Absolutely.
To respond to you saying, yes, sir.
They easily, they can make a counter. They can just email back that offer or scan it, email back. They can mail it back. They can fax it back for those three people that still have a fax machine.
All right.
So we make it easy.
Nice. So how often do people counter what you send them?
About 10% of the time.
Okay.
And you know, in that 10%, I'd say 5% do what we call a meek counter. So they counter like they just want $500 more. And then we're like, okay, they're a seller. Sometimes they do a, I call it an aggressive counter where it's like, you know, $100,000 more. In which case we'll say, well, you know, you should have said you want $10 million more.
Yeah.
Because it'd make you feel better. Say your property's worth $10 million instead of $100,000 because right. the same odds of getting $100 is the same odds as getting $10
million. Right. Gotcha. All right. Yeah. So you send out 100 whatever requests or whatever you want to call them. And 2 to 3% actually come back.
3 to 5% come back.
3 to 5%.
Right. And that's a really important metric because if it's under 3%, I know it came in too low for the market.
All right.
And if it's over 5%, I get nervous and we got to retrade and renegotiate.
All right.
It came in too high.
All right. If it's over 5%.
If it's over 5%, if everyone's saying, oh, yeah, I'll take that, we're like, uh-oh, something's going on here.
Oh, interesting. So even if you're like 5% still seems low to me. How did you come up with that?
If you're a housing person,
yeah,
that's an incredibly high response rate.
Is it really?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not in this world, so that's why we're talking.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, it's really, really low.
All right.
Like 0.0 something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. So 3 to 5% is a tremendous rate.
All right. So that means that you have to send out, I imagine. What are you doing? Like sending out 10 a day or 50 a day?
Yeah. Yeah. Like you can do, you know, the software let you do drip. We recommend doing 20 to 30 a day. And that way you can handle your due diligence as it comes back in. And it's pretty easy to do.
All right. So then in any given week, you're getting a couple responses.
Yeah. You get a couple of responses and your team can handle it.
Oh, that's clever. That is clever. So how much time in a given week do you have to actually stick in your business?
So I personally work about 2 hours a month in my land investing business.
That's awesome.
So about 2 hours a month, or about a half hour a week. And all I'm doing is looking at the numbers. I have a call with my acquisition manager who manages the business.
Mm-hmm.
And we just see how many offers went out, how many deals are pending, how many deals have closed. Are there any issues? Now, the problem is when I wake up and I have an idea and I Vox my acquisition manager. It's like a walkie-talkie app. And I said, what if we do that? So everything's working and then I break something. But other than that, yeah, I'm really not, you know, in the, you know, I'm the CEO.
Yeah.
Or the chairman, actually.
So you're the puppet master.
Yeah. I'm the puppet. Yeah. I'm doing the strategy.
All right. That is cool. So how big is your domestic team?
So domestic team is 2 people.
Okay.
And then we have a team in Jamaica and a team in the Philippines.
Oh, that's super cool. Now that leads to the question, how do you find a team beyond the ocean here? How do you find a team in the Philippines or Jamaica?
You can go to a service like landva4u.com and there are already trained VAs that know how to run a land business. There's a bunch of these companies like landmasters.us. There's a whole bunch of them.
All right.
You can do that, or you can go on Upwork.com or Fiverr.com.
Yeah.
And you can train somebody how to do
it. All right. That's cool. And then let me ask you about title companies, because those to me are just like, why do we still have these?
I know.
I imagine. Maybe it's just my frustration that limits me in the real estate, because I see the title companies like, oh, we have computers. We shouldn't have to deal with this. But tell me, how do you find a good title company? And then are you always using the same title company, even locally here, or something like
that? I'm always trying to use First American.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I've got a relationship with them. They get some great pricing. And so we're always trying to stick to the same title company.
All right. That's very cool. So you're not necessarily having to use the title company in wherever the land is.
No. Now, if they are in the First American, it's every state. Okay. But if let's say that the seller says, hey, I want to close through title and I want to use this title company, then we say, fine, but you pay for the title fees.
All right.
And they say, oh, wait, okay.
Whoa. All right. Yeah. That is cool. So you've been doing this for the better part of 21 years. 21 years. That is cool. And now, how does your wife feel about it now?
Well, she loves it now.
Okay. Yeah. she's come around.
Yeah, she's come around.
Oh, that's funny. So then tell me about you have the land, you sell it. Is there any, like, you're just feeding that machine? Who keeps track of the payments and all that kind of stuff? Is that software?
So we use software. Maybe? Yeah. Okay. So we use a software called geekpay.io. It's a set and forget it system.
All right.
And it keeps track of all of it.
And is this software you had written or something that you found?
Yeah. I actually, if you ever watched Curb Your Enthusiasm?
I have. Yeah.
Okay. So last season, Larry created a spite store. Do you remember that?
I don't. I'm not a frequent watcher.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So Larry David goes to this guy's coffee shop called Mocha Joe.
Yeah.
And Mocha Joe treats him poorly. And so that's it. He opens up Latte Larry's right next door. So I opened up my own version of Latte Larry's.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. A few years ago.
Was it tough to find someone to code?
It was very tough. I don't recommend it. Because if you're not a developer, it's like a dentist.
Yeah. Right?
Only another dentist can tell you if that dentist did a good job in your mouth. Or
right.
Not.
Right.
So, you know, so it's been a struggle, but I think the code is solid and, you know, we have very few support issues.
That's cool. That is so funny that you say that about the software thing, because I have never heard someone that has had software built that has said, oh my gosh, it's magical. Is the best experience of my life. No one ever says that.
Yeah. Just, I mean, like, if I wasn't so enraged by how I was treated, I never would have done it.
So it initially started because another software company's.
Because another software company, I was a really great customer and they started to nickel and dime me. And I looked at that and I said, wait a second, I can do this
too. Oh, nice. Yeah. I love it. There's one thing that entrepreneurs have in common is that they always have another idea.
Exactly.
Constantly. That's super cool.
Yeah.
So let's move into your coaching now. Mm-hmm. Land Geek coaching. This is essentially where you train people how to do what you're doing.
Right.
All right. And how is this live? Is this remote? Are you getting involved in the transactions?
Yes. And yes. And okay. Yes. So right. It just depends on, you know, which level they go into.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, think about it like this, like, you know, if you're going to go work out at a gym, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a certain percentage of people that have the self-discipline
mm-hmm.
that will get up early in the morning and work out and they've got good form and they'll do it.
All right.
There's other people when that want to do a group class. They want that person who's really fit and knows what they're doing and helping them.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's people that want to invest in personal training one-on-one. They want that personal attention. So we offer all of that.
All right. Nice. And now this is a question that I like to have for a lot of coaches because we've seen all kinds. How many people that come into any type of coaching program that you have actually gone through the whole thing and been successful? Knowing full well, it's not expected to be 100%.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I don't know how people define success.
Okay.
Fair. So it's a tough question for me to answer. I will say that we have many people that come through
mm-hmm.
and, you know, they quit their jobs, their spouse quits their jobs so they can spend more time with their family.
That's
they
cool.
reach the point where they are no longer have sole economic dependence.
All right.
But, you know, somebody who has $2,000 a month in passive income,
mm-hmm.
that might really move the needle for them in their life. And someone else might need, you know, $25,000 a month of passive income because they live in New York.
All right.
And they're a high income earner and they want to replace their income. So it just all depends on that person and their situation. I will say though, that people that do it, they do really well with it.
That is cool.
Yeah.
That is cool. So if you had to do something different 20 years ago to mm-hmm. that, you know, with the experience that you have now, what are some things that you would have done differently back then that you learned over the course of a couple decades of doing this?
Well, I would say that first thing I would have got a mentor.
Oh, because, okay.
Yeah, because it wasn't until I had a mentor. So I'm doing really well working on my own. I'm going to Kinko's and I'm getting maps. I'm talking to the sellers and I'm talking to the buyers. I've got you know, one person helping me with offers. I'm doing my own due diligence. I'm busy. Mm-hmm. And I'm doing, you know, I'm making really good money.
Yeah.
In the land business compared to investment banking.
All right.
And well, so I go to coffee with my buddy, Ori, and he sold his company for $360 million. And I'm kind of bragging to him about what I did. And he's like, stop. It's like, don't call yourself an entrepreneur. You're insulting me. Like, what do you mean? Like, you got yourself a better job than what you had. He's like, but it's still a job. He's like, if you die tomorrow, what happens to your family and the so-called land business? He's like, who's doing all the work?
I'm smart like, man.
Oh, I am. So then he's like, you got to processes, your systems, software, you got to start delegating. And so that's what I would say from day one. Mm-hmm. If I had that mindset, like the E-Myth, like Michael Gerber,
yeah,
that would have been great. I didn't have it. I had what Chris Tucker would call Superman syndrome.
I'm going to do it all.
I'm going to do it all. I can do it.
Yeah, that is awesome. All right. Yeah. So then I imagine that was a light switch flip for you. And now you're like, oh, I'm going to change my approach.
Well, now, I mean, my whole approach is I can always make more money. I can't get more time. I mean, I won't even park. If there's valet parking, boom, I'm saving myself time.
Nice.
So, I mean, anything that I can do to save time, a software tool, mm-hmm. a person, you know, I'm always reevaluating what did I do that day and mm-hmm. what's my hourly rate. So if my aspirational hourly rate is $5,000 an hour, I'm not doing anything less than $5,000 an hour.
Nice.
Yeah.
That is cool. So that means waiting in line.
And well, if I have to wait in line because, you know, I'm a human being and
I right, I get it.
Yeah, I'll have to wait in line. But if otherwise, if I didn't have to wait in line, if there was a fast pass for a grocery store, mm-hmm. I wouldn't wait in line. Like if I go to Disney with my kids,
yeah,
we do the fast pass thing. When I actually will buy software that will show me the fastest route to take
yeah.
to get through Disney.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. Fast pass at a grocery store. You may be onto something there.
I know, right? I would definitely do that. So, you know, any kind of line or anything I can avoid to waste time.
All right.
I'll do it.
That is cool.
Or save time.
So what is some advice that you would give to people that were looking at, to get into real estate investing? Let's start broadly and then in land investing specifically.
So I think broadly, you need to have the Zig Ziglar mindset.
All right.
Which means that if you'll do for the next 3 to 5 years, not 3 to 5 months, the next 3 to 5 years, what other people won't do, mm-hmm. you'll be able to do for the rest of your life what other people can't do. So if you're really dedicated to total freedom, then you are going to be completely focused on doing the tasks that you have to do to get there and let go of the results. Right. Perfect. So that's what I would say is you have to have grit.
All right.
You know, I'd give that advice for anybody to start any new venture, whether it's land, whether it's real estate, whether it's any kind of business, because you have to be comfortable being uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. You're not going to be great at anything at any one point in time. And I think that, you know, any entrepreneur needs to have three things. They have to have belief, they have to have skills, and they have to have the traits. Mm-hmm. So belief is, I believe I can do this. If Mark can do it, and he's not a rocket scientist, clearly, right? I believe I can do this. Other people can do this. I can do this. Mm-hmm. That's number one. Then you have to develop the skills, which is simple to do. You can get a mentor. You can get training. You can watch YouTube videos. It doesn't matter, but you start developing the skills. You get your reps and you start working in the land business. Mm-hmm. The more woo-woo part of it are the traits.
All right.
And right. So think about the traits of an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. They have to be flexible. They have to be adaptable. They have to be collaborative. They have to be, you have to be a person that other people want to work with.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If you're a tyrant, you don't have the traits to really grow.
Mm-hmm.
Now we know people who are entrepreneurs that are famous tyrants.
Yeah.
But sure. I could argue that they probably got really lucky. They got their company public. They had such a great idea. That mm-hmm. they were paying their people so much to put up with them.
Yes.
That they couldn't do that.
Yeah.
So that, you know, you and I are not Steve Jobs or.
He was the first one that came to mind or second one that right? came to mind.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Know, the guy was a jerk, but.
You could have been a jerk. Elon Musk might be a jerk. He's got a huge purpose. People work for Tesla. They're saving the planet.
Mm-hmm.
So again, I'd say that's an edge case.
Mm-hmm.
most of us have to have traits where people want to work with us. And we also have the traits when things are tough, mm-hmm. that we have that persistence, we have that grit, we have a certain amount of mindfulness and awareness mm-hmm. that this too shall pass.
Is that tolerance of discomfort, or arguably a desire for it, because we know that discomfort is probably growing pains, or should Absolutely. Be growing pains if you're headed that direction.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, think about your own life. Mm-hmm. I bet you the best teacher you had was the toughest. I would bet when you look back in your life, the things that you grew the most from were the mm-hmm. times when you quote unquote were the most uncomfortable or quote unquote suffering.
Right.
But in the moment you think, oh, this is terrible. And then you look back and like, oh, look how much I grew from that experience.
You know, it's funny you say that, because I can remember getting fired from a job. And I got fired from a job because I had read an article in a magazine that said, if you're not happy with your job, but you still like the industry, go after your boss's job. So I did that in a 20-person company. I went after my boss's job, and I was not shy about it at all. I was very open about it. And the guy whose job I was going after, he was kind of a drunk. So I'm like, this is going to be easy layup. But it turns out he's a drunk that likes to get drunk with the boss. So
Right.
I got canned from that job for attitude. And I remember that day, I'm like, I'm making you guys so much bank, and you guys are canning me. Like, this is the dumbest thing in the world you could possibly do. And I remember being so mad that day. But then I look back and I think, well, what if they didn't fire me? I'd still be in that crap job, not knowing that there's so much more opportunity in the world. I would have been content. I would have been cool making my $10 an hour or whatever it was I was making way back when. It was interesting. And I'm like, that's one of the best things that could have happened to me. Yeah, but at the time, I was ready to kill someone. I was so mad. Because you feel like you received something that wasn't necessarily earned. Something bad had happened, right? So
right. And you know, the older you get, you realize there is no bad or good.
No,
it's just how we interpret it.
Correct. It's not the facts, but the reaction to the facts.
Right.
Yeah, that's great. I love it. I want to shift gears a little bit to the land thing. Say we got someone who's flipping burgers or something like that, and you're like, hey man, you can have all the freedom, blah 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 blah. All you got to do is get in this land thing. And he's going to be like, well, James, Mark, I have these two nickels and I can rub them together. How am I supposed to get started in this land investing thing? So can you tell me, is there a minimum dollar amount that people got to have sucked away under their mattress? Or is there a way to use other people's money or something like that?
There's always a way. If there's a will, there's a way. I started with $3,000. My buddy Durant started with $800. We tell people to start with $500.
That's $500 bucks.
$500, because that'll get you your mailings out.
Yeah.
And then from there, because look, if I lock up a deal 25 cents on the dollar, there's someone else on the other end that I can wholesale it out 50 cents on the dollar. I can double my money.
All right.
So I don't even need to buy the property. I can just assign it over to someone like me.
So I want to pause you right there. Can you explain that a little bit?
Sure. So I send you an offer mm-hmm. and you accept it for $2,500. I don't have two nickels to rub together. I can't close. But it's 25 cents a dollar. So I email a land investor and say, hey, I've got this property locked up for $2,500 and I'll assign it to you for $5,000, because I know that you sell it for $10,000.
All right.
And you didn't have to do a mailing. You didn't have to do any of the work.
Yeah.
I've got everything ready for you. You want to do it? Sure. I'll take it.
All right. And is that like legalities and stuff like that? Is that crazy amounts of paperwork?
No, not at all. It's one piece of paper. It's easy.
Ha! That is cool. So essentially you never had to come up with that $2,500.
Correct.
You just had to come up with the buyer that was willing to pay $5,000.
Right. Another way to do it is what we call land arbitrage.
All right.
So let's say, for example, that you've got a piece of property that you bought for, let's say, $5,000.
Okay.
And the retail price of that is $20,000.
All right.
So you go to me and I say, oh, James, I'd love to buy that property. I don't have $5,000. Well, I was like, okay, could you afford $100 a month? Because mm-hmm. the market says you could get you know, $500 down on this property and $500 a month. All so, right. And you kind of show the comparable sales. So like, I'll sell it to you for $100 down, $100 a month. And then as long as you make payments, you're going to pay me $18,000 over time, but you'll flip it to someone else for $500 down, $500 a month. You're going to make the spread of $400 and $400 a month.
All right.
And you've mitigated your risk, because if you can't sell it in 90 days, yeah, well, you're only out $300.
Huh.
So that's what we call land arbitrage.
All right. That's cool.
And so people can do that for you as well.
All right. Let's shift into the little fees and the nickel and dime stuff that you have to deal with. The title work, any insurance? Is insurance involved on land?
No. I mean, you could get, I mean, you can do title insurance if you close your title company. For inexpensive properties, we don't do insurance.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Because I mean, but what you're insuring, I mean, right?
But otherwise, your fees are going to be your typical title insurance fees, where okay, they do nickel and dime. You know?
But there's not necessarily liability insurance or something like that on a
no,
big
no
chunk of dirt.
No, I mean, if you talk to an insurance agent, they're going to say, oh, what happens if somebody goes out there on their quad, they break their leg, they're going to sue you. So the way to mitigate that is if you're a homeowner, you get an umbrella policy, mm-hmm, general liability policy for an extra $1 million. Fine. The other way to mitigate it is do something called a land trust. So if you go out on my property, you break your leg, and then you try to find out who owns the property. Well, it's in a land trust. Attorney will touch it because they can't find the owner.
All right. Yeah. It's just this document that owns
it. Just this document. So where's the trustee? I don't know.
All right. Interesting.
Yeah.
There's so much. It's sometimes I talk to people like you and I'm like, this almost seems too easy.
It's simple. Nothing worth doing in life is easy.
Okay. Simple. Yeah,
it's
not, okay.
It's simple. It's a simple model, but nothing is easy.
Okay. All right. So what are some of the pitfalls or complexities that people may run into that are just out there and they'll probably eventually, after a few transactions, will find?
Well, the first one is there's 3,007 U.S. counties. Where do you start?
Oh, fair. Right?
So, you know, if we're in Madison, Wisconsin in the summer, mm-hmm, and you're like, Mark, let's go fishing.
Yeah.
And you see there's 12 boats over on this one bank and they're catching fish left and right. And then there's one other boat way out on the other side. And I say to you, well, let's go to that other boat way on the other side. There's less boats there.
Yeah.
And you say to me, but Mark, those guys are catching all the fish. Mm-hmm. That guy's drinking beer and not catching anything. So when you first start land investing, you want to go where the other land investors are, because now definitively there's deals there.
All right.
It's very counterintuitive. So that's the first pitfall, is knowing where to go. Mm-hmm. The second one is you never want to overpay. You've got to do your research and know your comparable sales and be able to divide by four. So that's the second pitfall. The third one is getting scared. You buy a piece of property and now you stop your mailings. You stop your deal flow.
Oh.
Now you're like Chick-fil-A without chicken. So if you want to be in the land business, then you need to constantly be buying land. So oftentimes newbies will buy, stop their mailing, stop their deal flow, and try to sell first. It's a huge mistake, because once they sell the property, which is, I've done this 6,000 times, I've never been stuck with a piece of property, they all sell, then it takes you another six. You lost 6 weeks of time of deal flow.
Oh, you got to keep that funnel full.
You got to keep that thing going.
All right.
Another pitfall is in due diligence. You know, first of all, we never tell you to go buy in Pennsylvania, Ohio, or New Jersey, but these are areas that could be industrial areas where there's Superfund sites. So you have to go to a site like EPA.gov to make sure you're not buying in a Superfund site.
What is a Superfund site?
Superfund site is an environmental cleanup hazard.
Oh. So
it can cost millions of dollars.
All right.
To fix.
Now, that is a hot potato you don't want. Okay.
That's a hot potato you don't want. So absolutely. So you make sure there's no environmental issues.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All but right.
It's really rare in the Southwest, Northwest, California, Florida.
Sure.
But still, it's something you want to be aware of. But I would say the biggest mistake I see people make is stopping deal flow.
All right. All right. You got to just keep that pumping.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Has there been,
because this is a volume business. I mean, you know, so $300 a month of passive income really doesn't move the needle for most people.
Right.
So you got to be doing deal after deal after deal. mm-hmm. to you know, once you get to say 10,000 a month of passive, for most people, that's going to get them free.
All right. That's cool. Yeah. 10,000 a month. That's a common number for a lot of entrepreneurs to aim for.
Right.
Yeah. That's cool. Is there, for as far as finding the land opportunities and stuff like that, the majority of the stuff that you're going after is people that owe back taxes and something like that. So it's not going to be something that you find on, oh my gosh, my mind is blank about the real estate.
Like the MLS or
MLS. That's what I was thinking of. Yeah.
So it's not necessarily on the MLS. We don't want deals where there's brokers involved.
All right.
Because they're already selling at retail. We want to find people. Imagine if I sent you an offer 25 cents on the dollar for everything in your garage.
Yeah.
Right. You'd probably take you up
on a lot of it.
Right. Exactly. So it's the same thing with the land.
Gotcha.
And they're not going to do anything with it.
Gotcha. Okay. So it's just a random, hey, if you're interested, here we go.
Exactly. At this price. So we don't want to be in the negotiating business either. A housing guy is like, I'm interested in buying your house. Well, I'm interested in selling my house. What's your offer? So now we're in a negotiation. Again, that takes time.
All right.
So I want to see an actual offer. This is a take it or leave it for the most part offer.
My gosh, this is so clever. Because I think now when I'm thinking about real estate, I'm like, with a house, you don't know what's behind the sheetrock. When you buy that house, what has been done to it? What's not been done? Code, water leakage, electrical issues, sewer, blah, blah, blah. All the stuff with dirt. It's dirt. As long as no one put their nuclear waste on it, you're probably okay.
Exactly.
That is so clever. That's so clever. You know, now that we're talking, I can't believe other people haven't done this or aren't doing it.
Yeah. And you know, it's so funny because I'll be on other podcasts and people say, well, look, Mark, if it's so great, why are you teaching other people how to do it? And so it's a fair question. Right. And so the reason is that the market's massive. There's billions of acres of land for sale and there's no one doing it. There's no big money. There's no private equity groups. There's no hedge funds.
Yeah.
You, me, a million people could be in this niche. We'll all run out of money before we run out of deal flow.
Right.
So that's why I put my investment banker hat on. It's like, well, how big is the market?
Yeah.
And then, you know, for me, it's just very gratifying to change someone's life.
Right.
Yeah.
It's one of the best things when I'm doing business coaching, you run into a past client and they got their little store or whatever it is that they're doing. And they've grown because of the advice that they took that you gave them. That's the best feeling in the world.
It's the best feeling in the world.
Yeah. So yeah. I can imagine when you're helping somebody learn how to invest in land, they actually do it, right? You don't just teach them how to do their pushups. They actually do the pushups or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
It's amazing.
Exactly. It's amazing.
Yeah. So I get that. I totally understand that. You can always send the elevator back down to help people get up. Exactly. So that's cool. Mark, how can people find you?
Thelandgeek.com. Thelandgeek.com.
Thelandgeek.com. It couldn't be any easier than that. That's what it comes down to. I appreciate you sharing all this with us. You give us a lot of great advice here.
Thanks, James. Appreciate
it. And this, you know, I can only hope that there's someone that has listened or watched this and they're like, you know what? I'm doing this. And a few months, few years down the road, they leave a little comment and they're like, funny story. I quit my job and I'm making bank now working, what did you say, 2 hours a month?
2 hours a month.
That is nothing short of amazing.
Thank you.
That is fantastic. Mark, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thanks, James. Appreciate it.
This has been Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggle stories and triumphant successes of business owners across the land. We are underwritten locally by the Bank of Centenary. If you're listening or watching this on the web, you could do us a huge favor. Give us a thumbs up, subscribe, comment, share, especially share with all those people that you know that think 2 hours a month doesn't seem like that bad of a deal. My name is James Kademan, and Authentic Business Adventures is brought to you by Calls on Call, offering call answering and receptionist services for service businesses across the country on the web at callsoncall.com, as well as Draw In Customers Business Coaching, offering business coaching services for entrepreneurs looking for growth on the web at drawincustomers.com. And of course, The Bold Business Book, a book for the entrepreneur and all of us, available wherever fine books are sold. We'd like to thank you, our wonderful listeners, as well as our guest, Mark Podolsky. I hope I didn't butcher your name. I apologize.
You didn't.
Yay. The Land Geek, found at what's that website again?
Thelandgeek.com.
Easy enough. Past episodes can be found morning, noon, and night. The podcast link found at drawincustomers.com. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week. I want you to stay awesome. And if you do nothing else, you know what to do. Enjoy your business.